Well, first of all, thanks to everybody who joined us today. My name is Barbara Rivas, and I am label manager at Mr. 305 Records, and I'm also founder of the Blissful Project, which is a community here in Miami, Florida, which is where I'm located right now. I technically started my career in radio and TV broadcasting, and I did that for over 10 years. I got to work in FM radio here in Miami and one of the top Spanish stations there is. I interviewed a lot of artists in the music industry, doing interviews for online blogs and TV channels. And then, you know, there was like a shift in my career and my life at some point, which, you know, I think it's something that happens to you very so often in your life, in your future, it will happen. And I was just looking for like the next step, you know, like what was the next thing that I could do? More business driven, more stable as well in all aspects, like financially, and something that I can kind of like continue growing my brand and myself and my future with. And then that's when I came into Mr. 305 Records about 5 years ago already. I've been part of the Mr. 305 Records label, which is Pitbull's label. And I started working with one artist, and now we have about 15 artists in our roster. We've been able to grow not only our roster with the artists, but our team within the label as well. So it's been definitely a fun ride to be part of this. Kind of like I was in front of the camera before and in the radio, in the studios with music, but now I'm like in the business side of things and I still love it just as much.
That's amazing. Do you mind if we jump straight into some student questions? Some kids already sent them to me. So one of our kids, they wanted to know in France, they wanted to know, what does a typical day look like for someone who's a label manager like yourself?
Well, typical day, I would say, you know, obviously come into the office, prep my day with my team, and then a lot of calls, a lot of setting up music, setting up releases, marketing plans right now. Specifically, Mr. 305 Records, we're like an indie label, so we wear all hats here. Like, it, you know, in bigger labels like Universal, Warner, or Sony, you'll find that they have like departments and people who have set exactly what they're supposed to do. But here at 305, we wear all the hats. So you can find me in a call with an artist talking about like their next music video, just like you can find me in a meeting with legal talking about agreements and documents and contracts that we need to do. And then you can find me just inputting music for it to come out with our distribution company and setting up marketing plans and ads plan and all of that cool stuff. For me, I love wearing all the hats because it's really flexible and fun to kind of like learn from all the aspects of the business. And I think it kind of helps you know what it is that you really love within this whole world that we work in right now.
That's so cool. So basically you're just taking care of business. That's what
exactly. We're just keeping this boat going.
So we got a question from Gonzalo in Spain. Gonzalo, you can unmute and ask your question for Barbara. Go ahead, pal.
Well, my question was that how, like, what artists do you have in your roster and how is it working with them?
I have artists like Omar Courts from Puerto Rico. He's a reggaeton artist. He's was the first artist that I worked with when I started in the label. And fortunately enough, he's been able to grow a whole lot. So I have him. We have Pitbull, of course, Mr. Worldwide. I have Lenier, which is a Cuban tropical artist. I am Chino, a DJ. We have a range of artists anywhere from producers, writers, artists from rock, pop, country music, EDM music, reggaeton, cumbia, salsa. So it's like a pot of all different cultures and sounds. And I think working with them, every artist has a personality. They have their own different goals. They have their own different sounds and different creative ideas. So it's different to work with all of them in a personal end. But I think the goal for everybody and the business structure for everybody is pretty much the same. I can work with a Pitbull, a release, and do all of these marketing strategies for people, just like I can do it for a developing act. The only difference here is obviously Pitbull is a worldwide known brand and the developing artist is not. And we just have to kind of give it more attention, more love. The process takes a little longer until you get that one song that you can say, you know, okay, we got it. Let's move on to the next phase of this. And I think that's the difference between working like a worldwide artist to a developing artist.
Well said. We have a question from Lise. My apologies if I mispronounce it, but she's in France. Lise, go ahead and ask your question. And this is aside from him. So go ahead and ask your question, Lise. She might be having some audio issues. So Lise is, she wanted to know who is the, Lise, can you hear us? Here, we'll try one more time. I'm going to try and unmute. Any luck? No, it could be a speaker issue. But she wanted to know, what is your, like, the biggest artist aside from Pitbull that you guys work with? And if you can't pick one, maybe your favorite? I don't know.
No, we definitely have a big artist. I mean, like I said, Omar Courtz. I would say for all of you to check him out. If you listen to Spanish music, reggaeton, urban, R&B, he's a super cool artist. Just because, I don't know, for me, it's special. It was the first artist that I worked in the label, and I was able to see him grow from like 500 followers to no listeners to no streaming with all of the hard work that we did. And then now he has millions of streams. He has been certified with RIA. We've had Anuel. We've seen, you know, Bad Bunny. He was just in the Bad Bunny album that came out. He's doing a concert in Puerto Rico, Adel Choli, which is the biggest concert that there is in the whole island. And it's just exciting. So definitely I say for you guys to check him out and see what you think about him, because definitely a story to see there, and an artist that I can see that can definitely grow a lot more in the next few years.
That's cool. And one of the kids, they want to know here in the States, they want to know, how do you identify an artist as a label manager?
You know, I think for me specifically, there's different aspects. Like, I love music just as much as I love the business side of it, right? So it's a little different. You might find some CEOs who in the label world just only look at like what can work, like what is going to give me my money back. But in me, in my case, I love to find creative artists. Like, I want to find, and right now I'm actively finding for what's the next new artist, like, that has a different sound, that has something unique, that has a look, that has a personality, that understands that making music is not just going to the studio and making a hit. And it's about being an artist all around. So making good music, having a good brand, having a good team behind you, having good understanding of the business aspect. Because at the end of the day, yeah, the artists are creators and creatives, but this is their business. This is what they live with. This is what they feed their families with. So they need to understand a little bit of the business. And I think a lot of the artists that are developing don't know a lot of it, but if they do have the willingness to learn and they do have like the vision for themselves, it makes it much easier to be able to make it work, you know? So yeah, that's some of the things that I would look at.
Absolutely. It seems like there's so much that we don't know in the general public, that there's an entire business behind it. You know, case in point, Pitbull, I mean, he is a brand. As an individual, I mean, he's one of the most well-branded individuals on the planet. So we'll go with a few more student questions. We have a question from Christopher, and Christopher is in Europe. Go ahead and unmute to ask, my friend.
Hi, my question was, what career do we have to follow to get to where you are?
Well, I would say music business. If you're in school right now, I would learn as much as music business as possible. I started my career in the broadcasting part of things, media. What I learned from that is that I was able to make a lot of connections, and I was able to learn a lot about the artists and their teams. So when I came to this, what I used that was my skill is that I knew what was working on radio. Like, I knew what was going off on the radio sense, and they kind of like trusted my ear to come in the label business side and pick good music and pick good artists to work. So I would definitely start learning, like, there's some bugs that I would recommend, like everything you need to know about the music business. If you guys read that book, you're gonna learn a whole lot of things that, even though that book was 10 years ago or more, that structure that they teach you in a book like that really kind of shows everything that is still in place today. So just learning a little bit, reading books, studying like your favorite artists, not just listening to their music, but study like, how did they launch their music? What did they do before they launched it to announce it? What did they do during the release of the music? And what do they do to maintain the fan base as far as like media, shows, creative covers, giveaways, and everything that entails. And then if you study your favorite artists, I think that's the easiest way for you to see how it works behind doors of the business side.
There are so many layers to this that we just don't know. Question from Lene in Germany. Guten Tag, ich hoffe, es geht Ihnen gut. I hope you're doing well, is what I'm trying to communicate. But go ahead from Germany. Go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, guten Tag. I have a question. If I was interested in working in the music industry, like as a manager or music manager, like would you recommend for me to start at a major label like Sony or Warner, or would it be better to start at an indie label because you're kind of doing all the jobs?
You know, I've always been the kind of individual that, I mean, likes to like wear a lot of different hats. Even when I was working in the radio, I always did like blogging, I did writing, I did outsource freelance work within the media. So I love being in an indie label. I love the fact that I get to be creative when I want to be, or I get to wear the, you know, business hat when I need to as well. When you go to a major label, it might be a little bit easier to get in, I would say, or get your foot in the door, because there's a lot of opportunities and there's a lot of departments, and you can start like from the bottom and go little by little up. But that ladder is a whole lot, you know, longer, I would say, than coming into an indie label where you have a smaller team. But if you really do set your goals and you really work hard and you really like, okay, start learning what you're doing and putting things into place, I feel that the opportunities are kind of more flexible. You have more stability in an indie label, I would say, because a lot of these major labels do like their yearly, you know, cutouts. And sometimes they sign so many artists that a lot of the projects might not work. So when they drop an artist, they drop the team behind that artist, if you're not somebody that's really needed within that whole spectrum. So the fact that I'm in an indie label, I know that I'm valued and I know that I'm like stable here as long as I continue doing the work that I'm doing and continue growing the artists that I'm developing.
Would you say it's more of like a big fish in a little pond kind of scenario where you're describing?
Yeah, it's like the corporate world, you know, that's how I see it. Like the corporate world, you go to a big corporate world and you work a 9 to 5. And then you just never know, you know, one day you just wake up and maybe they're doing changes that cut out your position. But in an indie label, you can be that much valuable to not only my boss, but I'm also valuable to the artist and the manager and the my boss and my team, because I'm in contact and I work with everybody. In a big label, you might never even get to speak to the artist directly, you know? So it all depends on the goals.
So you could be working for an artist for years and never met them.
They don't even know what you might be doing for them in the back end.
That is nuts. Susanna, we have a question from you in Spain. Go ahead and ask your question, friend.
Hi, I wanted to ask, what advice would you give to, well, maybe an artist that hasn't even started, or a developing artist with lots of talent but that hasn't had any big hits yet?
I say consistency is one of the most important things to have when you're an artist. Don't get discouraged. I have this post on Instagram that says like, you look at 100 people and they're like, I only got 100 streams, but 100 people in a room is a lot of people. I only got 1,000 streams, but you put 1,000 people in a room and that fills up like a whole house, you know? So you kind of think about it like that. Stay consistent. stay true to your brand always. And I think creating content is very important for the artists who don't have the budget or the team that they need to continue succeeding. I know that a lot of my artists, even the ones that do have everything that they need, they say like, I don't want to post my song 5 times or 10 times this month. And I'm like, you don't want to because you feel like you're repeating yourself. But no, that's not true. When I go to my favorite artist's page, I can watch him do anything with the same song 10 times and I'll still love it because I'm a fan. And if I'm not a fan and I see someone posting the same audio 10 times, I'm like, I'm going to get more interested as I swipe. And I'm going to want to like, okay, my God, you're doing promotion so much on this record. Let me actually listen to it to see what's so good about it. And when I see that, it kind of helps you get a lot of the audiences and the fans like that you need to create organically. And also like study, like, what sound are you making and who's listening to it? Where are they? Are they in your territory or are they in another country? What age do they have? What language do they speak? And then kind of focus on feeding your super fans. Even if they're like only 5 to 10 people, those 5 to 10 people, if they really are your fans and they love you, they're going to tell your friends about it and their friends are going to like it. And it's just going to trickle down from there. So consistency in your music, creating content as much as you can, promote your music as if it was like your last day making music, and just figure out who the audience is that you're kind of targeting with your sound.
That is so fascinating. That's cool. I don't know if you've ever seen this documentary. It's called Waiting for Sugar Man, where this guy was an artist in like the 60s or 70s. And he released one album, didn't go anywhere. So he's a janitor in Detroit, and somehow that album wound up in South Africa and sold second only to Elvis Presley in Africa, and no one knew his identity until like right before he died. And he sold millions of albums. Someone, the record company, pocketed all that money and gave him nothing. But like, check that out. It's called Waiting for Sugar Man, a very fascinating documentary where you might not think someone's listening, but they are. And that's crazy to me. You know, there's 8 billion people on earth. You never know.
100%.
So our final question, this always comes from me, is there any advice that you could impart on these kids as they go off in the world? I mean, you're super young to begin with, but like someone as successful as you are as a label manager, what kind of advice would you have for these kids, whether they want to go into music or something completely different?
I live by this quote by Napoleon Hill that helps me a whole lot. And I feel like our only limitations are those we set up in our own minds. The world is limitless. Continue working for whatever makes you feel happy, fulfilled. As hard as it is, you know, I've worked in the 9-to-5s. I've had the jobs that I don't like to have. And I've worked even harder on those jobs than I do trying to follow my dream. So as long as you know, and if you don't know, I have a lot of friends that don't know what they didn't know what they wanted to do. Then try something out that you haven't tried before and just focus on that. Where focus goes, energy goes. So like, just focus on something, give it all your energy that you have. And as long as you feel good with it and you love what you're doing, trust me that continue working, that at some point, something's gonna come. I worked in radio, like I said, for more than 10 years. And I believed that that was my passion. And I knew that was my passion, but I was struggling financially speaking and mentally speaking, because it wasn't good. Like financially, I wasn't making it. I wasn't living independently. I was struggling to having 2-3 jobs at the same time that I was like a radio personality. And I always like thought for 10 years that was my passion, and it really was. But then I knew that it was like time to make a change in my life. And I was okay with it. And I did it and I took a chance, and it was scary. And it was like, I cried and I made all the fuss, but I took the chance and I'm very happy where I am today. So don't be scared to also take chances when you need to try something new and something different that you've never thought you could be doing. Because I thought I was going to be the biggest radio personality in Miami, and I got to where I was and I'm happy with what I did, but now I'm in another space and I'm even happier right now because I'm excited to keep learning and growing. And I feel that possibilities are even more endless in this new aspect in my life that I am today.
Barbara, thank you so much for sharing. You are absolutely wonderful. And that is really like I used to work in radio. That is not easy. I read AM traffic reports. It is an exhausting industry. So well, before I end the meeting for all, typically what I allow everyone to do is to thank our guests and then I shut down the meeting. Can we all say thank you to Barbara Rivas for taking the time out of her day to come talk to us? Thank you so much, guys, for attending, and thank you, Barbara, for sharing your time. Thank you, guys.
Thank you,
Thank
guys.
you.
Thank
This
you.
is
Thank
so
you.
great. It was wonderful.